Right on. This is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition with another podcast. Today we have a guest, Vivara, who is a local Denver, but she comes to us from Belarus, and she's a powerlifter, 103-pound weight class, and that's super impressive. Her Instagram has videos of her deadlifting and benching and squatting, and it's super impressive, and she's breaking all kinds of barriers by being a feminine, strong-minded mother and a powerlifter, and it's super impressive, and I love to see this and talk to people that aren't superstars, you know, in the keto world, or superstars in the exercise world, or super, you know, famous people, but just real life, down to earth people doing the best they can. And she's also just a mother that's now a nationals coach. You know, she's been to Belarus coaching and going to Sweden next year as a coach. It looks like so. Like, this is super impressive, and that's why I wanted her on the show, because she's, you know, the neighbor next door that's just happens to be super healthy, powerlifter, good nutrition, and a mother and a wife, and just a great person. So I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'll talk to you later. Right on. This is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition with a yet another podcast with a local resident here in Denver, Vivara. I'm terrible with names, and I'm totally making fun of myself. We were just talking about it. Vivara, say your last name.
Litkina.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can spell it for you.
No, it's way too difficult. Welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me, Jeff. I'm honored and surprised to be here.
So the whole podcast really is about benefiting other people. Yeah, it's benefit as many people as possible. And my focus tends to be reversing type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance and nutrition. But I go off on these tangents sometimes, and you're an awesome tangent, because I think we can break some barriers and like benefit some people from this conversation, because you're a 103-pound power lifter.
Yes.
And that's impressive, right?
Oh, thank you. Yes. I hope so.
So let's tell people a little bit about you first, because the accent, obviously you're from Belarus.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in Belarus for people who just don't know about the post-Soviet Union?
It was nice to grow up in Belarus. Belarus is a small country in Eastern Europe between Russia, Poland, Ukraine, and Lithuania. I explain it sometimes. It was nice growing up there. And since I've been here in the States for almost 9 years, I do remember something, but you can ask me specific questions.
Right on. Well, you know what? Because I did spend time in Siberia, and like really and traveled around Russia a little bit and some of these other Eastern European countries. It's the people are like salt of the earth people, you know, and no matter what how's going on with the governments and stuff, like people are people all over the world, and it's just people are awesome everywhere. And I love that. Yeah, so welcome.
Well, thank you.
I've never been to Belarus, though.
Yeah, so well, you mentioned people. And one of my American friends said, who has been to Belarus, he said that the best part that he liked about the country were people. And I'm very pleased to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we have mutual friends, and, and like we're your husband, and so we're all getting to know each other a lot more now. So it's super cool that you're here. So a little bit of how did you get into powerlifting, especially such a you know, petite woman?
So I actually got into powerlifting here when I was already here in America. And it was a coincidence, and it was a coincidence of a lot of things happening. So when I was back in Belarus, my hobby was dancing, and I really liked this, and I spent a lot of hours after work dancing, and then I was teaching dancing.
So you were doing like ballerina or
it was Irish dancing.
Irish dancing. Yeah. Okay, that makes complete sense.
At that time, yes, absolutely. At that time, Irish dancing just came to Belarus, and we didn't even have kids age groups for that. So we were just starting. Now it has developed a lot there. It's wonderful. So, and after moving to the States, when I was looking for something like a hobby that would be similar to this. And when I had our first daughter, when she was born, I was looking around how to make myself active.
Right.
Because it always makes you healthier and makes you feel better. And I got into a seminar with powerlifters, and they were teaching the basic movements, squat, bench press, and deadlift. And the thing that I said resonated with me as a dancer, I think. So they said it's a skill, and a skill is something that you have to practice. And the more you practice these skills, the better you get at it. And technical mastery in the skill will lead to more weight on the bar. And I was like, skills, dancing, that's my thing. So I started going to the gym, and the things that I was doing my first year were only three barbell exercises, squat, bench press, and deadlift.
Uh-huh.
And I was practicing the skills. I was very, I think it was my outlet to get rest mentally and recharge and get better at something. Yeah. Step by step.
Well, you definitely focused on the skills because now you're a nationals coach. Yeah?
Yes, I am. I have it.
She brought notes, guys.
I have notes. I am senior national coach with USA Powerlifting Federation. And in the this year and the past year, I served as an assistant coach to US Masters national team at IPF Worlds competition. Oh, light.
So how did you like get into coaching?
How did I get into coaching?
Yeah.
First I was lifting and I liked lifting and I wanted to learn more about it. I went to seminars with different athletes and coaches to get better and to be able to help more people. And eventually, my friends started to ask me to help them with their training, and I was okay. What else can I learn to be able to do that? So I took some classes and completed coaching certificates with USA Powerlifting, and continued to learn from working and lifting.
Well, you've traveled all over the world coaching now, yeah? You went to Belarus.
Well, we can say that, yeah. in 2016, IPF Worlds competition was in Belarus, in the country where I'm from. So I just went over to Susan Gary and Matt Gary, the head coaches of US Open team at that time. And I said, oh, I want to go. How can I go with a team? What can I do? And they sent me over to Paulie Steinman. He is the head coach of US Masters national team, and he took me as his assistant coach that year. And I had no idea at the time what an assistant coach for national team will do.
Uh-huh.
So it was a great learning experience. And this year I went to Calgary as an assistant coach as well. And it was very fun too. So it's a great opportunity to learn, to connect with people, to see how people are performing on international level. It was fun.
Yeah. And then you plan on going to
Sweden? Next year, IPF Worlds competition is in Sweden. And yeah, I would love to go there. But it's in June next year. So We'll see what happens by that time.
So how is as a coach and bodybuilding yourself, how often are you in the gym? Every day, three times a week, six times a week?
It depends on how far I am from the competition. Right now, I'm focusing on other stuff that is important outside of the gym. Uh-huh. So right now I'm working out 3 days a week mm-hmm. and my workouts are 45 to 1 hour long, 45 minutes to 1 hour long. And if someone is preparing for powerlifting competition, the closer you get to the competition, the heavier is the training, the longer you will need to perform the training. So we're looking at longer hours that have to be planned as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit of the benefits that you've seen in your personal life around powerlifting, emotional, mental, physical, like all that stuff.
Well, physical benefits, definitely. It is a sport that will make you stronger. And I think one of the benefits that I believe is really good for me is that, not for me and for people, strength training can slow down the aging process. So it can make you stronger. Stronger muscles will be able to move more weight. And
that's a lot already.
Actually, it decreases the risk of injury in mm-hmm. real life because we perform these movements every day. Like to pick up something from the floor, you will bend over and pick it up. Uh-huh. It's the deadlift. To sit in a chair, you will sit in a chair and your hip crease will be below knee joint, and this is the squat. So you can practice. The practicing these movements in the gym will make you stronger and more resilient in real life. Yeah. And even if someone is playing different sports, like let's say soccer or boxing or just running, stronger muscles will make you better in any other sport. So this is one of the benefits for powerlifting that I think is really good for everyone.
Right. So it's like functional lifting for everyday life.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. How about mental aspect? Mental. I mean, it's like to really mentally charge up to lift 280 pounds as a 203 pounder, 203 pounder. It's pretty tough, yeah.
Yeah, well, it is. It's not something that happens accidentally. You work towards that, mm-hmm. that, and you will probably have a coach who will do the training program that will help you get there safely
and efficiently. Safety, yeah.
Yes, because you have to perform these weights in a safe manner and start lower and then increase the weight that increases your capacity. And definitely it's mentally, it is something that makes you stronger too, because you overcome things like everyone overcomes their own things.
Yeah, so you got these mental blocks or these veils in front of you. Yes. And then when you hit a weight that you've been shooting for, mm-hmm. you got to be elated. Yeah, like super excited and feeling powerful and feeling really good about yourself.
Yes, you definitely feel good about yourself when you accomplish things that you were not capable of before.
Yeah, definitely. And I really get that, you know, if you don't hit that weight, mm-hmm. You could like really get yourself motivated. And
yes,
step it up a notch and really perform.
It is a great way to look at this at the way that you could not hit yet. It's an opportunity to get better.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is important, and so, you can carry it over to everything in life.
Absolutely. So it's a physical game. It's a mental game.
Yeah.
It's an emotional game. Very impressive.
Well, okay.
So is someone? I want to knock down a barrier here because we talked a little bit about this. So you're not 103 pounds, but you're a little bit above that right now, mm-hmm. but you perform and you do competitions at like under mm-hmm. 103 pounds, which is impressive. And you are benching, deadlifting, and squatting how much? What's your bench?
My best lifts in competition, I will start with my better lifts than the bench press.
Sure.
my best lifts in competition is 209 pounds squat, 281 pounds deadlift, and 93 pounds bench press.
Wow,
at 103.65.
Yeah, so your bench should almost equal your weight,
yes.
or a little bit less.
Yeah.
You're doubling your squat mm-hmm. of your weight, and then almost three times as much.
Two and a half times
on your deadlift. That's super, like, impressive, yeah?
Well, thank you. I think it's for a powerlifter, I'm pretty much an average performer right now. But this is a sport where you can get better and better over time. And this time is like a lifetime.
Right.
So I have a lot to work on.
Absolutely. And the point is too, is you're super feminine, Yeah. And I think a lot of the concept out there is for women who would like to powerlift, but they don't want to look like a boy, or they don't want to be super masculine and have these super huge muscles. Mm-hmm. And you're not like that at all. Right.
I'm not like that. I'm not too super masculine.
So kind of tell us how that works with you, and, and why are people blocked by that? Or why is this completely untrue? Like, you're not going to look like a man if you're a powerlifter. Obviously.
Definitely not. You will still look like a woman if you're a woman who powerlifts. Like we talked earlier, I think that this is, well, yes, it definitely is a barrier and a misconception. And if you imagine any woman that looks masculine and sweating in the gym, lifting heavy weight and grunting and making noises that are not very attractive and feminine,
right?
This is how I look at the gym too. So, and then if you take this woman out of the gym into real life and dress her in a pretty dress or a skirt or jeans and a top, and she will look feminine because the muscles that she has will give her pretty curves that she will be rocking in a dress.
Right on, because that is, I think, a barrier for some people, and and it's stopping them from having ultimate health. Yeah, and the science now is going to long distance running or cardiovascular isn't as healthy as lifting heavy things.
I think the science is going in a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
And this is it. And I'm glad that even doctors recommend lifting resistance training right now, and especially for older population. And I consider myself an older population because after 30 something years, a part of an aging process is that we'll lose our muscle mass. To maintain this muscle mass and to stay healthier and younger longer, it is beneficial to do resistance training.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And doing resistance training will make you a better runner if you're running.
Yeah. Do you do any cardio?
Right now? Yes. I walk with my kids. We have a puppy and we walk.
Yeah. Sometimes with kids, that's... Yeah.
I go up the stairs and down the stairs, and yes, I do cardio.
Right. But your focus isn't cardio, and it's not important to you.
It is important. Life. Cardiovascular health is important. Uh-huh. It's your heart. It is important.
Yeah. Would you consider running, or have you ever done running or long distance? Or
I have done running.
Like Zumba?
Zumba is fun. I have never tried that, but I could. No, I have never done running. I just not a running person. I don't like it.
Yeah, right. I hate it too. Yeah. Of course, I got a cast on my ankle, so it doesn't help.
Yeah.
So, how would you coach somebody like me who has like an ankle injury, and has like recovered from it? Mm-hmm. But would you recommend still to lift heavy,
even with the? Well, what? First of all, what is heavy?
Uh-huh.
I would definitely recommend you to do resistance training, do basic barbell exercises with the bar, and progressively add weights to the bar.
Uh-huh.
This is heavy.
And if you're coaching somebody like me, brand new, I powerlifted when I was a lot younger, played football and all that stuff, so I kind of know. But somebody who's never powerlifted or been in the gym too much, and they come to you as their coach, what do you start them out at? What's the first
squat?
Yeah, just
I will look how you move. I will let you I will look how you move. I will let you do the squat without any weight.
Uh-huh.
We will see what can you do. Is your ankle limiting your mobility, and if it is, in what way, and how can we work around it to make you lift the weight?
Yeah. So, like, maybe not go down as far if there's limited mobility, or
actually
just stay
almost everyone can go down as far.
Uh-huh. Even with a
yes.
limited ankle.
Can you squat on a toilet?
Oh yeah.
This is that far. Every time you sit in a car and get out of the car, this is that far.
Uh-huh. Awesome. See, that's something I didn't know. Right? Because how big of a problem is if you go too deep?
Too deep?
Is it dangerous for you, or like you're you know, lower your butt's lower than your knees by substantial. It's okay to go that low?
It's absolutely okay. And it is okay and beneficial to do that with a loaded barbell.
Uh-huh.
Because full range, the squat with a full range of motion, when your hip crease goes below your knee joint, it loads all the muscles that are stabilizing these joints.
Mm-hmm.
So going below parallel with a loaded barbell is safe and more beneficial than not going that low.
Wow. See, you're blowing away concepts all the time. I didn't know that. I thought maybe the best way to go is like equal your knee and hip at the same level.
It depends on what you're working on. But if your knee is equal with the hip at the same level, uh-huh. You're likely loading your quadriceps, your quads more
uh-huh.
than you're loading your hamstrings and glutes.
Uh-huh. And all your power comes from your glutes, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. You know that. See, I know a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, going below parallel and is using your glutes
uh-huh.
is beneficial, more beneficial than not using them, of course.
Got it. So if you're deadlifting, what muscles are you really working on there as well, rather than the...
Well, the deadlift is primarily a back exercise, and it's assisted by the legs.
Uh-huh.
So you will have to use your back muscles and you will have to use your legs, again, your glutes and your whole posterior chain.
Got it. So do you work on your grip? Because really to pull up that heavy a weight, your hands have to be pretty strong too. Do you do separate exercises to strengthen your grip, or do you just let that exercise strengthen your grip?
Not right now. I don't do any grip strengthening exercises, but for someone who has grip as a weak link, those exercises might be beneficial.
Yeah. Do you do forearms or just strictly hands? If let's say I had really weak hands and you were coaching me,
Why do you think you have weak hands?
I don't think I do, but I'm just exploring options here.
Yes, there are exercises that will make your grip stronger just for hands uh-huh. or assistance exercises like pull-ups or chin-ups when you're holding yourself. They will straighten your hands. But first of all, lifting the barbell will straighten your hands and your whole body.
Right on. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about nutrition. So if you're in full-blown competition, what are you eating?
Competition?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that the closer I am to competition, the healthier I eat. Because when you're preparing for competition, it's a stress on your body.
Yeah.
And stress requires recovery. And everything you can do for your recovery is sleep, nutrition, lowering your stress any other way that works for you. Like even walking or taking hot bath, what will improve your sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's important. So yeah, when I'm closer to competition, I eat healthier.
Uh-huh. So you focus on recovery as well.
Yes, this is important, especially when you compete. And it's important. Recovery is important part of your training, because recovery is the time when all the magic happens, all the adaptations to resistance training that you do 1 hour, let's say, in the gym.
Uh-huh.
Everything that happens after is your recovery, and this is what benefits you too.
Yeah. So what suggestions would you give somebody? You know, you said bath, which is great, right? A nice relaxing bath.
There are more simple things like sleep.
Good, making sure you're getting plenty of sleep, because that's when your body's going to really start building muscle. Mm-hmm. What else do you have for recovery?
I think sleep is number one thing.
Yeah, sleep.
Yeah, spend time with people you love.
That is a good recovery, yeah.
Do everything that makes you happy.
Dinner with friends.
Dinner with friends, yes. It's about socializing with friends.
How about meditation as part of your recovery? Do you meditate for recovery, or do you meditate for other reasons?
Interesting. I've never thought that I meditate for recovery. I probably am.
Yeah.
And lifting is a kind of meditation for me too, because it's clears out everything out of my head, and I just focus on the movement.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to focus, right?
And, but yes, meditation is a good tool for recovery too. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. To focus on lifting that kind of heavy weight or any kind of weight at all, you really need to be present and be right.
Yes, and you practice this presence all the time. Like when you lifting in the gym, it will carry, let's say if you want to compete in the sport, being present in the gym will carry over to the competition, right? Because every time you touch the bar and you're present and you're focusing on the movement and what are you doing and what muscles you want to have working and everything. Every person has their set of cues that are going through their head when they're lifting.
Yeah, they focus in different ways.
Yes.
They got to be present.
That's right.
Absolutely. Awesome. So if somebody wanted you as their coach, somebody listening to this podcast, they go, I need a coach. I'm here in Denver, or if I'm in New York, but I still like her, so I want her as a coach, how do they get a hold of you?
You can find me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's my first and last name, Varvara Litkina.
Spell it for everybody so they understand.
V is in Victor, A is in Apple, R is in Rome. V is in Victor, A is in Apple, R is in Rome, A is in Apple. Litkina, Lytkina.
Okay. And I'll put that in the show notes for you. And so one last question I try to ask most people this question is, if you had one takeaway for the audience or for the people listening, what would be that one major thing that you tell people? Like, it's one important thing. What would you tell
them? One important thing for what?
For you in your life experience, what would you say to people?
What would I say?
Yeah.
Be happy.
Oh, that's easy.
Yes. It's not always easy to be happy.
But it's an important thing to really focus on and make yourself happy. Yeah? And lifting weights and powerlifting obviously makes you happy. Yeah?
I think so. But no, it's not the only thing that makes me happy. There are a lot of things.
Yeah.
Parenting is a lot more satisfying and rewarding.
Right on. Well, I really appreciate being on Mountain Man Nutrition, and it was great talking to you.
Thank you, Jeff.
And
thank
I hope
you
we
for
can,
having me.
Absolutely. And maybe you'll come back on some other time. Thank you after a big win in the competition. Thank you very much. And it was a great podcast. And I'll put all of your stuff in the show notes. And so somebody can get a hold of you and
have you as a coach. Right now, I mostly work with people that are local. But there are a lot of great coaches that I can recommend who work online.
Uh-huh.
So I will be happy to do that.
Great. Awesome. Thank you very much for being on Mountain Man Nutrition. Hey, this is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition again. And if you like the podcast you just heard, tell a friend. Share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, share it on Twitter. Wherever you can share it, tell somebody who can benefit from it. Because that's why I'm here and that's why I'm doing this podcast, is to benefit as many people as possible. Millions and millions of Americans have suffered from type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, and continue to suffer. So if we can benefit them in any way, shape, or form with this podcast, I want to do that. So please share it with your friends. Get on iTunes and give me a 5-star rating if you liked it, 5 stars. And then write a little blog about it, or a little say something about it so other people can find it that you're not sharing it with. You know, the more people who listen, the more benefit we can do for others, and you can be a part of that. And I'm asking you to be part of that. So let's share this podcast as often as possible. Thank you very much, and good wishes to you.